Hare Krishna. This is just a brief stay in Budapest. In fact, I'm leaving in about 15 minutes for the farm, and our open day weekend weather is promising to be good. It was 13 degrees at night, although it's 20 today. In fact, last night I had a war of worlds here in the room, because when I tried to take rest, I discovered that there were another 75 mosquitoes in the room who had some other plans for me. And so myself and Mohan and Shambihari, we spent most of an hour evicting them. Well, we didn't really quite evict them. We moved them on to the next body. I was relieved to find very conclusive evidence of such activity in Shruti Kirti's diary, where Srila Prabhupada had instructed him that because mosquitoes are attacking with deadly weapons, therefore we have every right to protect ourselves from them, and therefore dispose of them. So these mosquitoes were really deadly. I had to chant Gayatri twice at night because I couldn't concentrate on what was going on. They were more like Indian imports, and quite hungry. Obviously, the hot weather had really sort of kept them out of action. So that was the excitement for last night, at least. It gave me the opportunity to stay up a little later and write, as I did this morning. So here's a question from Radha Govinda, and in Romania. And I'm really quite sure I answered this question from someone else, but anyway, here it goes. The Padma Purana describes that one of the 10 Namaparads is to instruct the faithless persons about the glories of the Holy Name and the pastimes of the Lord. Can you please explain how to understand the description given in Srimad Bhagavatam where Prahlad Maharaj is boldly and straightforward preaching to Sandana Marka and to his demoniac father Hiranyakashipu about the need to dedicate the life to the service of Krishna through the 9 methods of devotional service? This answer begins again with the understanding that's the theme of Śrīla Bhakti Cintamani, and that is that which states Sve Svedikariya Nishta Saguna Parikirtita Viparayastu Dosha Syad Vayoresha Nirnaya. Steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. And then, Kochit Guna Pidosha Syad Dosha Pi Vidina Guna Guna Dosharta Niyamas. Sometimes piety becomes sin, and sometimes what is ordinarily sin becomes piety on the strength of Vedic injunction. Such special rules, in effect, eradicate the clear distinction between piety and sin. Anyhow, this means that on the basis of a person's spiritual advancement to give teachings that are within the vision of that individual and that are the next step for his advancement in Krishna consciousness is the proper duty of an individual. That means that even though someone is faithless, the duty is to actually give them faith. It is not that we should not instruct the faithless, but rather we should not instruct the faithless about the glories of the holy name or pastimes of Krishna. We should instruct the faithless about the principles of the holy name and about the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, which will then give them that type of faith by which they can take up activity and get to know further about the details of chanting and devotional service. So one needs to give faith in successive steps and develop faith in successive steps, and that is the proper course, that is dharma. However, giving a large dose, or attempting to give a large dose of faith to those who are faithless, that then becomes adharma, and in relationship to the holy name it becomes aparad. For instance, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Asaktako malashradhira sakatabolina anadikari rasi adikari dhyana. A devotee should never speak on the topics of devotional mellows to one who has weak or pliable faith. A devotee should never attempt to bestow the qualification for rasa upon one who is unqualified to receive it. This is, for instance, the practice of the sahajas. Sahajas have knowledge of the Lord's Astakaliya Lila, and they think that by the potency of those pastimes and the subject matter, faithless people or people who have here Komalashvara. Komalashvara, Rupa Goswami says, is weak and very pliable faith. In other words, a Kanishta Adhikari, that by the strength of that activity, a Kanishta Adhikari will come to the level of an Uttamadhikari and be able to hear. But that is an aparad. And such subjects can be spoken to lower level Uttama Adhikaris or to high level Madhyam Adhikaris. But if someone gives someone who has very weak faith, then he commits an offense. So this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying. Don't try to give the qualification for rasa to someone who doesn't even know what rasa is, who's never actually really read books on rasa shastra, and particularly to people who don't know what tattva is. Rasa comes after one has a full understanding of tattva. So this is the krama, this is the step-by-step systematic process of Krishna consciousness, and if we advance in devotional service systematically, rising up according to our level of faith, and that faith will be determined by purity of heart and cultivation of transcendental knowledge, then we become systematically qualified for everything until we come to the level of prema. Yesterday, on As It Is, I put this quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says, Radha and Krishna are one. This oneness may be perceived by advanced devotees through the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the case with Ramananda Roy. One may aspire to attain such a position, but one should not try to imitate the Mahabhagavata. In other words, by hearing and by acquiring faith, the result of that is that one attains aspiration for higher stages of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada says that there is no harm in such aspiration, provided that it is systematically attained. What happens if you don't systematically attain levels of advancement? Then you end up in the imitative stage. In other words, you start to imitate. So we should not engage in imitative devotional service. We should engage in scientific devotional service and go through the step-by-step process that Srila Prabhupada has outlined for us. In that way, we'll attain the result of devotional service. And now, going back to Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj is telling both his teachers and his classmates to practice the general principles of devotional service, Nava Anga Bhakti, which begins with Shravanam and Kirtanam. This is basic ABC. And it's the next step from where they're at, which is that they are faithless people, although they may well have actually knowledge of the process of devotional service. For instance, we read about how Hiranyakashipu pacifies his relatives at the death of Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu reveals that he has full knowledge of the eternal nature of the soul and the transient nature of the body. Still, he has no faith in the master of all souls and the person who is in control of both matter and spirit. So it may well be that both Sanda and Amarka are fully aware of the process of devotional service, but because they're karmakandis, because they're materialists, because they're in the domain and under the sway of Hiranyakashipu, because they don't have the proper faith to practice devotional service, then Prahlad Maharaj is rightly pointing out to them the next step. Next step meaning that he's already telling them what they know. What's the point of already telling them what they know? Because the sound vibration from the lotus lips of a highly advanced transcendentalist like Prahlad Maharaj is able to instill the faith and the inspiration, as Srila Prabhupada uses, the aspiration for the devotional service of the Lord. Hare Krishna.